Praise God. We're so glad that you're with us today. The whole team is here. Glory to God. The Sosbys have arrived from Texas. Glory to God. We're so blessed to have them with us. They pastor Momentum Church in Rockwall, Texas. Happy to have the Hockadays with us, Brother Jim and Aaron. They have the Healing Center in Castle Rock, Colorado, and travel all over. And, of course, my husband, Kevin Durant, the original KD, and myself here from Orlando, and Reverend Robin McCollum from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Glory to God. Oh, so blessed to have this team together. Thank you for having us, pastors. Thank you for inviting us to come back again this year. God is saying some significant things in the earth today. Amen. Praise God. I said, God is saying some significant things in the earth today. His word is progressive revelation. He said, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered yet into the heart of man the things that God has, the Amplified says, has prepared and kept ready. Prepared and kept ready. Some things obviously are revealed in God's time. There is more revelation to be received. Amen. Kenneth Hagin didn't die with all the revelation. Pastor Sarah didn't die with all the revelation. Amen. These people have come and gone on God's timetable, but we're here now. I said, we're here now, and God is revealing himself as he always has and giving us greater and more revelation for the time we're living in. Because the time we're living in is not the time they were living in.
That's right.
Amen. And we've got to have tools necessary for the times that we're living in, for the enemy that's pressing in. Amen. We've got to have the tools. Don't use yesterday's stuff. Come on. Amen. Manna was fresh every day. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. David said, your word was found and I did eat it. And it was sweeter than honey. Is it still sweet to you?
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Is the word still fresh to you?
Yes.
Amen. Because there's no such thing as stale manna. It wasn't, day old manna was not stale. It was disgusting. Not edible. I said not edible. Not worth looking at, not worth smelling, not worth keeping in the house. Unless God said for today, gather enough for today. Can you imagine that first week of manna? The first week? Can you imagine when he said, gather this up and they're all, it was called manna because it says, what is it? That meant, what is it? Manna means, what is it? What do we do with it? What is it? Well, it's supernatural provision. Supernatural provision for your absolute necessity of life. Amen? And he said, gather it. Just get enough because I'll be here tomorrow. Just get enough for today. I'll be here tomorrow. And so I said the first week, imagine the people going, well, but what if he's not here tomorrow? What if it doesn't come tomorrow? Everybody's always saying, what if God doesn't do what he said he's going to do? Our actions reveal whether we believe what he said or not. Amen. You can tell if you're believing if it changes your actions. If it doesn't change your actions, you believe nothing. You believe in a theory or a concept, but if it doesn't change your actions, you don't believe it. Let me tell you, COVID schooled us. Amen. I washed my hands for years before COVID. I don't know if you did. Amen. I washed my hands way before COVID. But now everybody's like, oh no, there's no sanitizer. What do we do? I trust in sanitizer now. No. I've been washing my hands for years. It's smart to do it. Amen. But if I can't wash my hands, I don't freak out.
That's right.
Shows where your trust is. Where's your trust? Yeah, but you got to use wisdom. No, you got to manage wisdom. Don't substitute human wisdom for God's word. People substituted it and called it using wisdom. I know what God said, but you got to use wisdom. Well, like I said, I've been washing my hands for years. That's human wisdom. Do it. But if you can't do it, are you lost? Amen. I'm ready this morning. Hallelujah. You already said you're in the right place at the right time. Hang on. So imagine that first week of manna. And, you know, so some people said, well, what if he doesn't show up tomorrow? We're just going to, you know, I know what he said. Just gather enough for today. But, you know, it won't hurt to have a little extra just in case. And they found out. I mean, worms got in it. It was, you can't eat it. You can't eat it. And so, you know, then they said, okay, well, we'll do that. So then you get to the end of the week and he says, now gather enough for 2 days. Oh, no. We know what happened. Those of us who didn't trust you the first time, we know what happens to that if we get too much. We'll just get enough for today. He'll be here tomorrow. And what'd they do? They went hungry. Amen. I'm going to take my earrings off because I can hear them clicking. I was cute. That's what I want to hear. You're still cute. Okay. But I can hear them clicking, and I know it will not make some people happy, so they're gone. But anyhow, you know, those people didn't want to gather enough for the next day because, you know, they knew what happened. But he's saying, trust me, what I say. Trust what I say. Trust what I say. Amen? His word is spirit and life. Glory to God. And so there is revelation to be had today. There is revelation for the time that we're living in today. Amen? And we need to be careful in the sense, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. We need to be very careful in a sense that we're not filtering new revelation in the old wineskin. Amen. We've got to put the new wine in the new wineskin. We're not throwing out old revelation. Amen. He's just revealing more to add to what we already know, which makes sense of the times we're living in, so that we can live in today's manna, so that we can participate with what God's doing. Amen. I remember a prophecy we've kept dear to our hearts for many years that Brother Hagin spoke in 1974 in Longmont, Colorado. And in this particular prophecy, he said, further light and revelation and teaching will come. Further light will come in the area of healing, physical healing, divine healing. And he talked about in this further revelation that would come, it would then become like a teacher teaching mathematics, and you'll be able to write out the equation and everyone will get the right answer. Well, he said that in 1974. And people are going, oh no, you can't get any new revelation. There's no new revelation. You can't just say 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't always equal 4. Yes, it does. And like Brother Jim said last night, when you have the answer, who cares what X and Y are? That was so good. The algebra. Amen. If you know what the answer is, the issue is coming up with the answer, not debating how you got there. He's our answer. He's our answer. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he calls the end from the beginning, so he always gives you the answer. Open book test. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go with me to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Hebrews chapter 4. And if there is someone doing scriptures up there, I would appreciate if you could put up the Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. Now that we're in our 60s, we have to read the classic version of the Amplified. I like the classic. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Very familiar portion of scripture to most of us. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. I like the Amplified Classic because when we say the Word of God is quick and powerful, and we're talking about manna and receiving revelation and the Word of God, and when we say the Word of God is quick and powerful, I'm not talking about just the book. The book. I don't just mean reading the book. The book is a recording, if you will, a primitive recording of words spoken. Amen. And because he is alive and the same yesterday, today, and forever, he is continually speaking. Yes. Amen. Amen. And so the Amplified Classic puts it this way, the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. The word that God speaks, everybody say the word that God speaks. The word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. I want you to ask yourself a question this morning. Is it active, operative, energizing, and effective in your life? Or do you just believe that it's supposed to be? We've got to check up on ourselves, amen, and make sure that we're not getting bored. If you're anything like me, I've caught myself many times, and I'm an old school, I like the Bible in a book. I like to see the pages. I'm not a device Bible person other than looking up different translations. I like the ease of that. That's wonderful. But in my reading, I like to read it with the pages because I still like to underline things. And, you know, and I have my scribbles and my notes in the margins and the things. And when God speaks to me, I write it down. Yes. Amen. Amen. When he's speaking to me, when I read it, I get something out of it. I write it down and I make note of it, you know. But if you're anything like me, at sometimes when you're reading, I'm just going to tell off on myself. Sometimes I've skipped over the things I have underlined. Like, yeah, I know that. I've already read that. I've apparently already underlined it. Means I got it. And if you're not careful, you'll do that sometimes and skip over things that God can continually speak. And continue to give you more revelation and more light. Amen? Because what we need is light. The entrance of his word brings light. But we've got to settle it in our hearts that it is the word that God speaks. Not just the word that we read. Faith doesn't come by reading. Amen. I said faith doesn't come by reading. Worship isn't worship because you sing a song. Giving isn't an offering just by putting money in a bucket or texting a number. If your heart is not engaged, it is not something that God receives. It's not spirit to spirit. You can put money in a bucket and the church will spend it, but it's not an offering unless your heart's attached to it. It won't produce for you if your heart's not attached to it. Amen. You can sing a song. We can have a wonderful choir in here. Praise the Lord. It can sound beautiful, but what does God receive? If it's from your heart, he receives worship. Amen. Somebody put some kind of meme on Facebook one time, and they said, you know, somebody asked another person in church, how was worship today? And they said, well, I don't know. You'd have to ask God. I'm not qualified to answer that question. I can tell you how I felt, but was it worship? I don't know. You'd have to ask God. Because we're not talking about how was the musical experience. We're not talking about how good was Robin today. She was awesome. No. What does he receive? Here men receive tithes, but there he. Amen. So our heart's got to be engaged. Same thing in Scripture. You've got to be engaged. Your spirit's got to be engaged. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. The word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So we got to worship with our spirit engaged. Everything is spirit because Jesus said to that woman at the well in John chapter 4, God is spirit. God is spirit. Good news, so are you. So am I. We are spirit. Amen. Go with me to John's Gospel, the third chapter. John chapter 3. For months, I've been just kind of meditating on some things, and I keep just hearing this in my spirit just keep coming up over and over again. We've got to get better at being spirits. We've got to get better at being spirits. Instead of trying to live our life and just add God into it. Amen? We're not just living a human existence and then going to God when we run out of ourselves. That's just religion. That's not life in the Spirit. This week we're life in the Spirit. We're magnifying life in the Spirit because that's in Him. That's where we live. Amen? So here in John's Gospel, the third chapter, you're familiar with this event. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, came to see Jesus. And I like this interaction so very much because, of course, we get John chapter 3, verse 16 out of this, out of Jesus' own mouth. Amen. But the first interaction here, Nicodemus says to him in verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So first of all, Nicodemus is smart enough to identify that Jesus is just not another teacher like the Pharisees. He's not just another rabbi. He's not just somebody who is expounding on the law. He's coming with one, and you've seen it time and time again throughout the Gospels. They notice that he was one with authority. Amen. And so he says, nobody can do the things you're doing. Everybody say, do the things you're doing. Not just giving us instruction, but actually doing something. He's marked by what is happening in his ministry. Changes. Yes. Yes. Amen. Changes in people's bodies. Yes. Amen. Changes in the earth. Glory to God. But he said, nobody can do these things unless God is with him. What marks you? What makes you different? That's Nicodemus's question. What makes you different? Who are you and why are you different? Because we see results. We see fruit. This isn't just appealing to our mind. We're seeing it do something. I remember the first time that I found Brother Hagin's books. I was a teenager, and I had just graduated high school and was traveling with a Christian music group, and I was sitting with someone on the bus who gave me one of Brother Hagin's books to read. And I was a preacher's kid. I was saved, I was filled with the Holy Ghost, but I had no clue anything about this message of faith. I didn't know that the word was supposed to work. I knew I was supposed to read it. Did you read your Bible today? Yes, lied. I didn't get anything out of it. It didn't mean anything to me. I didn't know how to apply it. I didn't know how to let God speak to me. And when I found Brother Hagin's books, all of a sudden it was like it made the Bible come alive. And I remember underlining, "But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." I said, "You mean he really will? He really will? I can count on him? He's really, he wants to?" 18 years old going, "He wants to be involved with me? That's amazing." And it just started making the Bible come alive. Now when I read the Bible, God spoke to me. Because I found out he wanted to. Glory. So Nicodemus says, "You're different. You're getting results. Things are happening. What's up with you?" And I love Jesus' answer. He said in verse 3, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, I love Jesus' answer because Nicodemus is saying, "What makes you different?" And Jesus is already announcing, "Anybody can be different. Anybody can do what I'm doing. It's about to change." Revelation's progressive. They didn't know this yet. Jesus hadn't come yet in the flesh, right? So now he's here. Things are changing. Things are starting to transition now. He's going, "Well, once somebody is born from above, he'll be able to do everything you're about to see me do. I'm not going to be the only one different. If a man is born from above, he'll be able to see what I see. He'll be able to do what I do." I mean, Jesus didn't hold anything back in that very first question. The very first encounter. Somebody's bold enough to ask me what makes you different. I'll tell you, you're about to be different if you want to be. Amen. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." First he said, "See the kingdom of God." Then he said, "Enter the kingdom of God." Enter means to go in and out. Go in and out. Go in and out. You're welcome. You have access. Hallelujah. When you're born of the Spirit, you have access to that realm and all that God has to offer in that realm. Amen? Amen. Born of the Spirit. Everybody say, born of the Spirit. That's why we say it, we're born again. Amen? Just like you were born in the natural, born of human flesh, and you came as a human. When you got born again, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter says, now that you are in Christ, you are a new creature. New creature. Everybody say, new creature. Recreated spirit. Now with full access to that realm of the Spirit that Jesus said, anybody can do this if you're born of the Spirit. You are born into this. You didn't just make a decision yes, it's your decision to be born again, but it wasn't a mental position. It's a spiritual thing that happened in us, that we became available and we came aware and we have access now to that realm. Amen. It's a new operating system. Amen. Kevin and I have iPhones, and recently he bought us some watches that go along with, but he didn't get us the Apple Watch. He got us the other watch. And it's compatible, but they don't think the same. They're different operating systems. And they can work together. But in order to work these watches, it was a bit of a learning curve, to be honest, because I had to think like it thought. But I'm used to thinking like this. I'm used to thinking Apple. Now I got to think Android. I got to think different. When you got born again, you need to think different. You're not limited. You're not limited the way you think you might be, the way you might think you're limited. Amen. What makes you different is you were born into this, which means you have access, just like you were born as flesh. You have all the access to what humanity has. But born of the Spirit, now you have access to everything God has. And remember how Paul told the Corinthians, he said, I'd really like to talk more about some great stuff, but you're acting like mere men. I can't even tell you the stuff I'd like to tell you. You're acting like humans. Why are you acting like humans? It surprised him. Come on, it ought to surprise you. We should be so acclimated to the realm of the Spirit that when somebody acts like a human, you're going, what are you doing? What's the matter with you? Why do you keep coming up to that spot and never go further? You're acting like a man. Go with me to James. James, the second chapter. Hallelujah. Just going to drop off some things this morning because, you know, with all of us working together in these meetings, it's a challenge for all of us, to be honest with you, but it's a whole lot of fun as well. Challenge in the sense that when we're doing, you know, our own meetings in our own places, we're responsible to say everything the Holy Ghost is saying to us, you know, of course. But at the same time, when we're in meetings with one another, he may want to say one thing through one person and something else through the other person. And, you know, we got to say only what the Father says for today. Because he'll build on it through another gift. Praise God. And so these meetings will all go together. As only God can do. He's so smart. Oh my goodness, I'm amazed how he can take something and everybody else go, oh, that was just for me. Right. None of us are smart enough to do that. Even Leanne's not smart enough to do that.
All right.
Come on now. But the Holy Spirit can take how he uses me, how he uses Pastor Leanne, how he uses Brother Jim, and he can put it all together so that it deposits something. Like I said at the beginning, God's saying some things in the earth today. I'm glad you're here to hear it. Yeah. Amen. But he's saying some things in the earth. He's putting some things in motion in the earth, even in these meetings. I'm not saying that because we're so important. I'm just saying that because I know we're all carrying something for this time. We all carry something for this time. And so when God saw fit to put us together and to do some meetings together, something comes, when we come together, revelation comes together too. So I'm excited about every meeting because I'm feeding off of everything going on. Amen. So James, the second chapter, praise the Lord. And we're gonna jump into some things here. Praise the Lord. James chapter 2, and I'd like to read this out of the Passion Translation because it's awesome. Here he's talking about in around the 17th verse, in New King James says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Amen. So we're in this chapter, in this portion of Scripture, where we're talking about faith and works. Now, here's a delicate thing, and this is why we need further revelation. Amen. We don't just need to think in terms of the old wineskins and think that the terminology means one thing where he's adding to in the day we're in now. Is that okay? He's adding to what we already know. Amen. And so in our present day that we're in, the word works has many meanings to many people. We're not talking about works of the law here, dead works. We're talking about corresponding actions, it's been said this way, faith with corresponding actions. Amen. I'd like to also call it faith with results. Because I think you can safely say in the context of this scripture that we're also talking about results. Because he's saying that the completion of faith is starts in the heart and continues with what you do on the outside. If you believe something and it doesn't change your actions, it is incomplete. Amen. It's incomplete. And he goes on to say here in a little bit, faith without corresponding actions is dead. It's dead. And so that means faith could be dead. Amen. If he said faith without corresponding actions is dead, verse 26, I believe it is. If he says it's dead being alone, if it doesn't have actions, then it's true that you could say the statement, faith could be dead. And I'm convinced that there are a lot of people, follow me, with dead faith. It's fixable. It can be resurrected. Amen. Praise the Lord. So faith without corresponding actions is dead. But let me call your attention to this. Actions alone without the spirit of faith is also dead. And many people are in that side of dead faith. Only doing the doing of something without connecting their heart. Which is where we started this morning. So there's a lot of people saying, well, I've done everything. I'm confessing the word. I've done this. I'm saying it. I'm acting like it. Well, just act like you're healed. Not without your heart connected. You can't act your way into something if your heart's not connected, because it's not faith. That's dead works. And so we've swung the pendulum, in a sense, in our circles to the actions trying to prove that we have faith. Because I'm doing something. Brother Jim brought out how he talked to somebody who had, was it a tumor they had? Or something, and they said, well, I know I'm healed. Well, they know what the word says about their healing, so yes, I believe they know they're healed in that sense that Jesus paid for it. But their corresponding action is just to confess. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, but there's no heart connection. So it's dead. So in the passion, perhaps this will help you. I'm not mad at anybody. This is me. You remember me? Okay. Praise the Lord. Verse 17. So then faith that doesn't involve action is phony. I like that. Phony. Fake. But someone might object and say, one person has faith and another person has works. Go ahead then and prove to me that you have faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works as proof that I believe. You can believe all you want that there is one true God. That's wonderful. But even the demons know this and tremble with fear before him, yet they're unchanged. They remain demons. They're unchanged. You need to ask yourself this question: how long have I remained unchanged? By the word I say, I believe. Are you satisfied knowing that it's supposed to be true, but not experience it and remain unchanged? Friend, your faith needs to wake up. Wake up. I like Romans 10 that says, you know, faith comes by hearing. We're really fond of another translation that says that we consider that faith is awakened by the message. And the message that awakens it is the preaching of Christ. Jesus said in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, to the doctors of the law, he says, you search the scriptures and think you'll find eternal life, but they all point to me and you don't want me.
Jesus.
Friends, family, we're there again. We're there again. Where everybody is searching the word, the word, the word, and I'm not minimizing the word by any means. I'm saying it's the word that God speaks. Is it alive to you again? It needs to be alive to you. It can't just be the word you read. You have to keep your relationship, your fellowship alive. You have to do that. You have to maintain your fellowship. You have to maintain your fire. Let him speak to you. Amen. Just like we often tease one another, Kevin and I, about, you know, how married couples can ignore each other. Even if one is speaking. Right? I learned a long time ago. We've been married 41 years. And so when we were first married, I we were learning all this together because we were so very young. But when we first got married, I remember, you know, we were talking, or I thought we were talking, and I was talking in the car. And asked Kevin, you know, something. I said, what do you think about that? He goes, about what? And I said, well, Kevin, if there's two of us in the car and I'm talking, it's probably to you. But I learned something. He taught me something that I didn't realize, having never been married. I didn't realize that men are already having a conversation with themselves. This I now understand. I was interrupting his own conversation. And so I learned to say, excuse me, can I have a second? Are you available? And he'll say, give me a minute. Just I'm almost done here. Kept us together for all these years. Give him some space. Come on, he's got to finish the conversation. Ladies, this will help you. Men, this will help you. Amen. So in a loving relationship, you can still ignore each other. You think, well, God can get my attention. Can he? Can he? Are you listening? Do you remember how to listen? When you read the word, is he speaking to you? Let it be just as fresh as, wow, he really wants to meet all my need? That's amazing. Hallelujah. Amen. So the demons believe, but they remain demons. They're unchanged. So the last verse of that chapter says, for just as a human body without the spirit is a dead corpse, so faith without the expression of good works is dead. So we want results in our faith. Amen. Faith should be working. It shouldn't be a mental position. It's not a mental position. It's a spiritual position. And to keep the fight spiritual and out of the mental realm, it's got to be spirit-to-spirit communication. Amen. You can't just listen to God or read the word in a mental capacity and expect to hear from him. You have to engage your spirit. Amen. So just as works alone doesn't get a job done, neither does just faith in your heart get the job done. He wants it to come together so we see the results of our faith. Amen. So we have the completion of our faith. Didn't he tell the Galatians, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" You know, if you get lazy in your relationship with the Lord, you think that just your doing will get the job done. No, engage. Engage. Everybody say engage.
Engage.
Amen. What's one of the best ways to engage? When Jesus answered the woman at the well, and she's asking him, "You seem to know God, how can I contact him?" Really, that's her question. How can I contact him? Our fathers say we're supposed to do it this way. Jews say it should be this way, which is right. And he said, "Well, actually, good question. Because the time is coming when neither way will be it. The time is coming when true worshipers," which we sang about, "true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth, because that's what God's looking for. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for your spirit engaged." Amen. So we can't be perfected in the flesh. It's spirit to spirit. So in order to contact God, spirit to spirit, with your spirit engaged, the way that God does everything is heart and mouth. Heart and mouth connected. Not emotions and mouth. Amen. Not mind and mouth. Heart and mouth. Not feelings in mouth. Not desperation in mouth. Not frustration in mouth. Heart and mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips is from the abundance of our mouth. So everything in God is heart and mouth. Amen? Heart and mouth. So one of the best ways, and we'll get into this in another opportunity when I'll be up again, but we'll get into some fun and juicy stuff too, because God's building some things. Amen? But one of the best ways with heart and mouth is to pray in other tongues. To worship God or to praise God in other tongues. Paul said, "I will pray with my understanding. I will pray with the Spirit." Robin asked us a little while ago, how many of you remember when you first got filled with the Holy Ghost? You remember the first time you spoke with other tongues? How many of you can remember that? Do you remember when it dawned on you that I'm not making this up? This isn't coming from my head. This is coming from a whole other place. Do you remember that you're like, this is so God, right? How many of you know you don't have to have that feeling now? But it's every bit as God as it ever was. But you can do it at will. You can connect at will from your spirit with your mouth. Right there, I just, on purpose. Didn't have to have a feeling, but it didn't come from my head, came from my spirit. Hallelujah. One of the best exercises, one of the best things that you can school yourself into locating your spirit, into locating your heart and engaging your spirit with God, is to pray in other tongues before you read the word. Pray in other tongues. Doesn't even have to be a long time. Just you're hooking up your spirit, locating your heart. So now when I read the word, I can hear him speak. Because this is open. This is ready. I'm ready. Here I am, Lord, speak. Speak to me. I'm not just here putting my time in to read the Bible. I'm not just reading a book. I'm going to hear from you. So let's talk. Let's communicate. Praise the Lord. Help you locate your heart. Help you locate your spirit. Because too many times, I believe in where we're living in, people don't know the difference between their head and their heart anymore. They don't know if they've got doubt in their head or doubt in their heart. Well, doubt doesn't work anywhere, in my opinion. It's no good anywhere. People say, well, it was just in my head, not my heart. Well, what good is it in your head? At what expense? Amen. At what expense? Why are you even letting it stay? Deal with it. Amen. But one of the best ways we can connect with Him is praying in other tongues and praising in other tongues, so that you then begin to hook your tongue up to your spirit. Amen. And you get more aware of His presence. You're more aware of Him. Amen. But now, Robin was singing Brother Engel's song a little while ago, and those words were changed in that one verse a little bit, but I like it. Oh, there's two. Yeah, there's a new revelation version of that, I think, because the old one says, my soul and my body are left standing dumb when I pray in the Spirit in a brand new tongue. But this new version is, my spirit, soul, and body coincide as one. Amen. Because the Bible says this, that when you pray in another tongue, your mind is what? Somebody tell me. Unfruitful. Unfruitful. So, what is it then? I will pray with my spirit and I will pray with my understanding. The fact that your mind is unfruitful to some people throws them off, because then they think, then my mind has nothing to do with it and my mind can go somewhere else while I pray in the spirit. Not true. Not ideal. Not ideal. Because you'll get so lazy and so bored if you let your mind wander while you're praying in tongues. Your mind needs to be involved, but it doesn't need to be in charge. It needs to be involved, just not in charge. Amen? In this meeting, I'm involved, but I'm not in charge. I like it that way. Amen. I'm very involved. But I'm not the one in charge of making all the decisions. Your mind is involved, because when you're praying in other tongues, the Lord will reveal things to you and enlighten your mind from your spirit, going this way instead of this way. God doesn't use gravity to get things to you. If people think, well, I got to get it all understanding, and then if I read it enough, it'll eventually filter down into my spirit. No, gravity is not involved. Your spirit will catch things way before your mind does. Let it. Let it. And then renew your mind so it catches up to your spirit. Right. That's good. Amen. Your mind is not the first gate. Your spirit is the first gate with God, because you are born from above. You are born from. You are born to hear from Him. You are born to receive from Him. Your mind does not have to be in charge and should not be in charge. But it needs to be involved, because our spirit, soul, and body coincide as one when we pray in the Spirit in a brand new tongue. Hallelujah.